Good morning, 639 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We're starting a new interview, regular interview with J. Bruce Woody, the executive director of ECUA, because it actually occurred to Natalie Bowers. Give her credit to this. She's the one who said, you know, Andrew, I know you talk with a lot of folks when they have their meetings and what happened, and would you like to have the executive director on when we have our meeting? He's like, yeah, absolutely, of course. So, and, you know, we've got a good relationship with Bruce to begin with, but we're going to be doing this every month right after their meeting to give you a recap of what happened. Bruce Woody, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So I have some stuff I definitely want to ask you about that I don't think did anything in the meeting yesterday. We'll get to that in a minute. One of the things that happened yesterday is you guys talked about you're going to have a well groundbreaking honoring ceremony next, is it Thursday the 4th, Star Wars Day?
That is correct. On Thursday, May 4th at 10:30 a.m. over 1313 Gonzales, we'll have a groundbreaking ceremony to kick off a $11.4 million investment by the ECUA at that location to construct a new well, new treatment facility, and we're replacing an elevated water tank with a much larger ground storage tank at that location. And we're going to honor Mr. Elvin McCorvey, a longtime public servant from District 3, who served ECUA and its constituents for 22 years in that district, and we're going to name that well after Mr. McCorvey.
Is that that's really cool. I like that. Is that a new, like, we're transitioning from towers to ground-based? I'm not familiar with this, so that's why I'm asking. Or do the towers still have a place? Is that something we still have a real need for?
Towers, locations where we store water, serve two different purposes. One is to provide extra volume in the system for fire protection when there's an immediate and sudden demand for water.
Okay.
And it also helps establish pressure in zones in the area. More modern techniques really do that through valves and pumps as opposed to towers, so they're a little less necessary to do it by way of tower. More importantly here, this tower is 500,000 gallons, and the ground storage tank we're going to replace it with will be 3 million gallons, much larger reservoir.
Okay, and the tower is going to come down eventually?
Yes. In fact, one of the actions the board took yesterday was to award a contract to begin that work here in the next 30 days.
Oh, okay. Well, I would assume the residents in the area, you know, typically a water tower is, I mean, it can be a beautiful thing like the one on I-110, or it could just be that thing that's always in our way when we're looking at the sky. So, all right, kind of interesting. I didn't know all that. That's interesting to me. You've also got some changes to the bulk waste collection program starting July 1st.
Yes, we have a responsibility to be as efficient as we can. Right now we travel each route in the residential areas four times, one to pick up trash, one for recycling, one for bulk waste, one for yard waste. The amount of bulk waste we pick up is so small in comparison with the others, it really isn't an efficient way to provide bulk waste service. So beginning July 1st, we're going to switch over to a bulk waste system, much like the city of Pensacola has, where you call in and schedule appointments. As long as you call before 2 p.m. The day before your regular pickup day, we will schedule a bulk waste pickup on that day. We also encourage you, if you have small items, countertop appliances, things like that, frankly, those we prefer, you go ahead and put in the trash can if they'll fit.
Okay, all right, interesting. Yeah, which makes sense, especially in the, at least it has been for the last several years, scarce employee environment, trying to find people to drive the trucks. But even if you had an abundance of employees, you know, sending the trucks out for only a few pickups is bad for the roads, bad for the trucks, you know, and a waste of human labor in addition to everything else. Speaking of that, how is, just for the driver's side, it seems like it's been, you know, years and years, certainly since COVID at least, and maybe going back before that, that everybody is scarce on drivers for CDL. Is that still the case for ECUA?
That challenge has been mitigated somewhat. We've raised rates for our rates of pay for our staff, and we've had some pretty strong programs to try to hire. Right now, we are fully staffed. We have, you know, small turnover that everybody has in our organization periodically, but right now we're not in the position that we had been in the past. Our challenge right now is technical staff. We're still looking for a couple engineering positions, a couple IT positions, and folks for mechanical skills, either for maintenance of diesel or CNG engines or mechanical repair for things like our wastewater pump stations. Those folks are kind of hard to find.
Okay, and that leads me to the question I wanted to ask you about. Actually, hang on for just a second. We're talking to Bruce Woody, the ECWA Executive Director. Before I ask you, let's get Canyon here with traffic on the fives.
And not showing any slowdown, so it looks like we're all good. 98 clear from Navarre right now into Gulf Breeze into Pensacola, 3 Mile Bridge, General Chappie James Bridge, that is. Not showing any delays. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Bruce Woody from ECUA. Bruce, the staffing is the reason that you guys gave for having to temporarily say that you're not collecting basically homes recycling, that you can only take source-sorted cardboard and nothing else. What's going on with the recycling facility? It feels like, okay, I'm just telling you as a citizen, it feels like we just can never get this right. It's open, it's closed, there's a fire, there's a problem with the machine. Keep recycling, don't keep recycling. That's kind of how it feels to me as a consumer. You tell me what's going on.
Yeah, I understand the frustration. It has been on again, off again. It started with the long closure after Sally, and then we had a fire the very following year. And the current downtime is a staffing issue. We've changed all of our maintenance folks over to another division in order to help supply that end of the shortage. But we still, we recently lost a couple mid-level supervisors, so we're having to do some retraining and promoting within the system in order to get up and running. So we're still receiving source-separated materials such as bulk waste, cardboard, and things like that. But our mixed recycling pick up the curb that unfortunately is pretty highly contaminated has run through the machine. And that right now, we're still in the middle of some training, so we're not operating it for probably at least another week.
Okay, so, and I know you've said before, and I'll repeat the message, that keep separating your recyclables because you stay in the habit, and it'll be back operational as soon as we can, like you said, maybe in a week or so. But the right now fact is that you might put the cans and the bottles and the plastic and the cardboard all together in your recycling bin, and that's all just going to the landfill at the moment, because of that shortage of maintainers, basically, that you've had to shift over to other areas because you're kind of short on those workers at the moment. But again, that's kind of something that you're going to get fixed over the near term. Do I have all that basically correct?
That's a good summary. Thank you, Andrew.
Perfect. All right. The other things I wanted to ask you about, one was 9 Mile, the well there over by Navy Federal and Nature Trail, went offline for a little bit, 2 weeks ago, two or maybe 3 weeks ago now, I forget. It was on a Monday, and the question that I had was, it was Monday when it went off, and for cleaning, okay, which is good, but then when it came back on, as my understanding, and again, you correct me if I got any of this wrong, the pH was low, very low. There was some reports of, I don't know, Navy Federal, you know, they had to shut off some of their water at a point. Then the following night, you got a boil notice given to Nature Trail. People were very concerned about all this. I asked Natalie Bowers kind of, well, what was going on? I didn't understand what would drop the pH so dramatically, you know, and then I heard the words food grade muriatic acid to clean off these filters. I say muriatic acid scares me. So help me understand what happened, why the delay in the boil order, and how concerned should we be about the water quality during that day and a half, 2 days?
First off, shouldn't be worried about the water quality. The incidents was that every two or three times a year, we have 31 wells altogether, and two or three times a year, we will take two or three of those wells out of service and do a complete cleaning of the well column and screens and replace any worn pump materials like impellers and such as that.
Sure.
That's a routine thing that we do. So it winds up being every 10 to 15 years an individual well will have that happen to it. 9 Mile well is our largest well. It pumps nearly 3,500, 4,000 GPM. That's twice the size of most of our other wells.
Gallons per minute, by the way. Go ahead. Huge.
Yes, gallons per minute. Yeah, so we just recently did that work. When we do that, we pull out the screen and the casing, and we do a mechanical cleaning with brushes. Then we flood it with chlorine to clean that material off, and then we use a muriatic acid that is NSF, National Sanitation Federation, food grade compliant, low pH material to do the final cleaning. And that's an industry standard process. When we brought it back online, as we do with all of our other wells, typically the pH is automatically adjusted by our equipment and comes up rapidly. What comes out of the well typically is about 5.5 pH,
okay.
And we increase that to about 7.2. The problem that we had because of the volume that was coming through, it was still low on the pH because of the acid bath that we had used.
How low was it?
Down in the threes.
Oh, okay.
It was down in the threes. For comparison, Coca-Cola and Pepsi that we drink every day usually runs about 2.6 to 2.7
okay.
pH.
And like a one is when it starts to be dangerous, right? I mean, like that's when you start to be concerned. It has to go very low for it to be a real concern, right?
Correct. In fact, pH is what we call a secondary standard. It isn't a primary health standard, such as bacteria is. Color, taste, and odor are secondary standards. Certainly not a product we like to provide. We ran it for just short of an hour, our staff did, and that was the error on our part. It wasn't coming up quickly enough to our 7.2 standard, so they shut it down, flushed it for several hours, and then brought it back online. But because it ran for a while, it put some bitter tasting water into the system, and that's what the complaints were about.
Okay, so nothing dangerous, lower than the ideal standards, still above what you say as a, you know, acidic level that you would find in Coke or something like that. It's gonna feel weird to people, but it's not gonna be a problem for them. Okay, that helps me put it all into context.
Yes.
I appreciate that. Last thing,
and certainly apologize for that.
No, that's helpful. And the last thing I wanted to ask you about is just, I know you probably can't comment a lot on this, but the one piece of reporting out of the lawsuit that Henry Holmes is bringing over, they say you told them that you had, that there was plenty of capacity for a subdivision. They then built the subdivision, and now there's not the capacity in the same way. The technical details of that, I'm not all that interested in. What I am interested in is the argument that ECUA, I'm quoting from the reporting, as a governmental entity has no legally enforceable duty to provide factually accurate information to a private entity such as Thomas Home Corporation. As an answer and a position, that sounds terrifying to me, that you don't feel, if this is right, that you have a legal obligation to provide reliable, accurate information. Help me understand this concept.
Yeah, let me answer that in two regards. First off, a couple important points about the case itself. Whenever a developer comes to us, we provide some information about the capacity we have at the wastewater treatment plant to serve the new additional development, and we provide some feedback regarding the local capacity around a pump station or a collection system. Thomas Holmes asked us about the capacity for 50 homes. We gave them a letter responding to that. They went away for a little over 2 years, came back, and then asked for capacity for 170 homes. We told them no. For two reasons, that's more than what you had originally asked for. Number two, in the time since you first asked, additional connections have been made in the same area, so the capacity has now been reduced.
Sure, that makes sense.
That's probably that's the main point of our issue. Our secondary, the issue you picked up on, that was kind of sensationalized by the reporter. With Pensacola News Journal. He was picking up things that of course would grab people's attention. It's our attorney's responsibility to list in a lawsuit in defense any and everything available to us under the law. That is kind of a distasteful comment. I understand exactly where you're coming from, but since it is something that is available under state law for public entities, municipal, county, and otherwise, it was listed as an item.
Okay, so this is so your view is you're supposed to tell me the truth when I'm asking you questions, but as a legal matter under state law, when Thomas Holmes asks you a question about sewage capacity at that moment, there's no legally enforceable duty under statute for you to give them information which they can then rely on and sue you if it turns out to be false. That's the distinction we're getting at here. Do I have it basically right?
I think that's a fair way to say it. But there was also certain sovereign immunity.
Right. I understand those arguments, too. Okay. As long as you all feel like you're morally obligated to tell me and the PNJ and Channel 3 the truth when we ask you questions, that's the thing I think that I find the most concerning about the way this appeared.
Absolutely.
So, okay. Very good.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, excellent. Well, thank you, Bruce. I know sometimes the questions aren't so easy, but that's I appreciate you being on the show. And we'll do this every month and, of course, anytime in between when there's important news. But, J. Bruce Woody, he is the executive director of ECUA. As always, thank you for the time. Thanks for picking up our trash and recycling our stuff when we can, and of course providing us safe drinking water. Bruce, I appreciate the work, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate this opportunity.
You bet. 6:55 on News Radio 92.3.